You are listening to the 2DAP Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High 2DAP Yanks studios. And tonight, filling in for Mr. Corey Chatelain is Jim Hart of Year Zero Soccer.
Hola.
Hola, good sir. A round of applause for the late notice and coming on like a champ.
Hey, it kind of caught me in a nap.
Now, as you may know, this is tax week, for better or worse. And so that's what Corey's dealing with, is with the taxes. But I still may think that it may be the Andy Carroll hat trick, more than anything.
Yeah, it could be.
How on earth do you give up a hat trick to Andy Carroll in the span of 8 minutes? That's what I want to know.
Well, you do it by not playing Per Mertesacker.
Was he not playing that day?
No, he was not. They had Gabriel in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty big height difference there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's not on our topic list, but hey, you enlightened me. I only saw the highlights. I don't make a habit of watching Arsenal matches, as you all know. So let's get the crowd fired up and let's talk about a whole bunch of footy. There's more footy news than he could shake a stick at, Jim. And so we'll start today, kind of work backwards, and then look to the future at the end. But today, a big result. 1-0 today in the home leg, and 3-2 overall in the aggregate is Manchester City reaching the semifinals of the Champions League for the first time in their club history. Defeating Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, in the battle of Middle East oligarchy money, yeah.
Well, the oligarchy derby. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good match, I thought. Although, Paris played with a sort of odd defensive setup, but at least they didn't have David Luiz, sitting back there sort of playing sideshow Bob and, forgetting to play defense.
Yes, he thinks he's a striker. Likes to make those forward runs and not mark back or not track back. But yeah, they didn't have that problem today because he wasn't there.
That's right. They sort of played an odd three in the back situation, which kind of, I don't know. It was a good match, but, I really honestly think that Man City only plays as well as Kevin De Bruyne here since probably January. So if Kevin De Bruyne is playing well, then Man City is playing well. And if Kevin De Bruyne is out, they don't do anything. So that just seems to be the way they go lately.
Yeah, he's definitely been their talisman of late, especially with Silva kind of struggling this year due to injuries. I guess the two big talking points, and we'll get to De Bruyne here, is I didn't think it was going to be Manchester City's day when I saw the Sergio Aguero penalty kick. I don't know if you, what do you want to call that? Disaster, mishit,
Yeah, I don't know what to call that. It was, a gigantic, disastrous miss.
Yeah, and you could see what he was trying to do. Obviously, he's trying to tuck it into that extreme bottom right corner, but he got the math all wrong, let's just say.
Yeah, Pythagoras was not on his side.
There we go. That's a good one. And then De Bruyne scores the goal. That puts them through. I mean, they would have gone through if it stayed at 2-2, but it's obviously it's much better to get that goal. So you could say you won on one of the legs.
Yeah.
And so as you said, De Bruyne got the goal. And you said that he's really been the key to their success when they have been successful of late.
It sure seems that way. Yeah, he's been the man for them. And I think he seems like a Pep kind of player, so he'll probably be featured pretty heavily next year.
Oh, yeah, no, he's definitely. There's many players on the roster who you question their future, but I don't think he's one of them.
Yeah.
And I guess, how do you feel? I mean, as a Chelsea supporter, now that you see him doing these type of things, do you wish that things might have worked out a little differently with his career arc at Chelsea?
Well, it's kind of depressing because, I mean, the reason Chelsea let him go was because it was kind of down to him or Eden Hazard, right?
Yeah.
Because De Bruyne wanted to play, obviously. You know, he's talented and you know, it's hard to keep somebody that talented sitting on the bench. And he basically plays the same position as Eden Hazard, and they made the decision to sell one, keep one. And reading today, it looks like Chelsea just might be selling Eden Hazard. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, now they're both going to be gone.
Yeah, that's kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets at to where Chelsea needs to find, I guess, some kind of identity here.
Now, Chelsea needs a complete rebuild. You know, and I think Conte is the guy to do that. I think he'll be really good at that. But you got to have the raw materials too, you know. But Hazard just had a terrible season. I mean, he hasn't scored in the Premier League, not even once. So, you know, the price tag, you know, they were going to ask something like £78 million for him a year ago. I think that price has been cut in half.
Unless, and I'll throw some hope to you, unless maybe he can have a big Euros and maybe drive that price up a little bit.
Potentially, if he doesn't get sold before the Euros, I don't know.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens this summer in terms of the transfer market with, I guess, two major international competitions with the Euros and then this, you know, this bigger version of the Copa America.
But since Ian
anniversary
play on the same side for the Euros, you know, who do you think, if you were the coach of Belgium, would you play? At this point.
What are my choices again?
De Bruyne or Hazard?
Oh, well, based off form.
Yeah.
De Bruyne.
Exactly.
But you could find a way to accommodate Hazard, but you'd probably be sacrificing some defense. And I don't know if Belgium would want to do that.
I don't know how much defense you're sacrificing. De Bruyne doesn't exactly track back. Like
Magic. Yeah, no, but I mean, yeah, no, I understand. What I mean is, if you play maybe Hazard in the middle or something,
if you play them
both of them.
Yeah, if you were to play them both,
that's what I meant.
And Lukaku, then you're just foregoing defensive responsibility by your front.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I meant by that. So, but thank you for catching me out, not explaining my point properly. all right, we'll move on from this, and we'll get into Chelsea at the end of the show here. But and just one little thing that I want to say is, how about, I think one of the most unheralded and most underrated keepers plays for PSG in Trapp. I think he's an excellent keeper, and you saw that again today at times.
Yeah, he's a good keeper. Yeah.
Now the question is, he's still pretty young. I don't know what. Does the future hold? Does he go back to Germany? Does he go back to Bayern Munich someday here? I don't know.
I don't think any keeper goes to Bayern Munich for a long time. Because Manuel Neuer is under 30, I think. So.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, I'm talking about years down the road.
Yeah. So I don't see any reason for a good goalkeeper to go to Bayern for a long time.
And that's a very good point. All right, let's move back into time, but let's focus on the Premier League here for a few minutes, Mr. Jim. And I'll say something here. I don't know if you listen to the show, but pretty much every week we talk about Leicester, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's some possible handball calls that don't get called. And they kind of struggle, but then they put away the couple chances they need. They've been winning games 1-0 with some controversial non-handball calls. So I think they need to change their name, Jim, to the Groundhogs from the Foxes because it's like Groundhog Day in April. It's the same thing over and over again, and they've set this formula to where they're just etching this out. I'm half expecting them in their next match to have Bill Murray sitting in the owner's box.
Well, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, so what were your thoughts? Did you get to see this? They won 2-0 against relegation-threatened Sunderland. Really, Sunderland was – I mean, they had their chances. Sunderland's just abysmal going forward. They get in that final third, and it's like they forget how to pass and cross. They can't pick their head up to pick someone out. It's just a train wreck.
Yeah, Sunderland's a mess. But they did pick up a few players at the break, and Big Sam is a relegation specialist, but Leicester's unstoppable now. You know, you would think that all the pressure in the world is coming down on their head, but for whatever reason, they continue to get clean sheet after clean sheet after clean sheet, and they're just unstoppable at this point. I mean, it takes a lot of luck, I think, on top of everything else to kind of, to win the Premier League. You know, you got to have some breaks along the way, not just play consistently and score more than your opponents and all the obvious stuff, but you have to get a few breaks, and I think they're getting the breaks almost every week.
And they've looked this week especially, they looked nervy, not just in the final 30 minutes, but through a lot of the match, I thought.
Yeah, they looked like they were playing on eggshells at times, didn't they?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Once they got that goal, they're fine, Once Vardy put that first goal in, they seemed to loosen up a little bit.
Oh, they definitely did. And so we'll get more into them later as we look forward to the weekend. And NBC's cashing all in. I don't know if you saw the commercials. Basically, they're lining up the rest of the season to, hey, tune in and watch Leicester make history.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty good media campaign for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all about Leicester City from here on in.
But as a Spurs fan, I still hold some hope because they do have a pretty tricky last three games. Heck, even five. They got to play West Ham this weekend, which depending on how they show up, they've been hit and miss, but they could put them under pressure. Swansea is capable of giving them a game. And then they got, Everton, Chelsea.
And Man United.
No, it's not Chelsea, though. Is that right? Is it Chelsea?
Chelsea's okay. The last match of the year for
So those are their last three games. So I think as Spurs, if we could just stay within 6 or 7 points, anything's possible. Because if they drop a game, I don't know. I mean, yes, they're clear favorites to win the title, but things could still change because they haven't been convincing in the last month or so. And as I said, they're a couple handball calls away from dropping points or maybe even losing because those change games as well.
Well, they shouldn't be afraid of Man United.
Oh, no, they shouldn't be.
And they should. It shouldn't fear Chelsea. Because Chelsea is basically playing their academy team at this point.
But should they fear the Walking Dead?
Yes.
They should? Okay.
But they should definitely fear West Ham.
Yes, and that's a game that we could talk a little more here at the end. So there's your case. Leicester is up still by 7, right? It's 7 points. I'm trying to remember. Been a long day.
Yeah, it's 7 points right now.
7 points with Spurs, and their pretty dominating win over Manchester United over the weekend. And speaking of dominating,
I'm not sure there's enough points left, though, which is really important for Arsenal to drop into fourth. I don't know that Arsenal can drop enough points to fall into fourth.
It's possible.
Is it?
I think so. So let's go to 2-yanks.com, boys and girls. And as I said, you could always go there, and there you'll get a table and you can get fixtures without crazy pop-up ads. And it's easy to find. So I'm going there right now. So I've already got there. Arsenal is only 2 points ahead of Manchester City.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's still possible. They could. Their muscle memory could kick in and they could get that fourth spot.
They could. And Arsenal and Manchester City and Manchester United all have games in hand on everybody else because of various cup competitions that they've been in.
Okay.
And so that's going to be big. Those games in hand for Manchester City and Arsenal are going to be big. But you would think that with Manchester City now being in the semifinals of the Champions League, they may choose that midweek league game. And I don't know when that's scheduled, to rest some players, perhaps. It's hard to say.
Hard to say. But, yeah, they're not very deep, especially in the back. I mean, if they have to put in Martin Demichelis in the back, then they're going to lose.
Yes, and I don't know. I didn't see anybody pick up on this. Did you see the story? And I do believe it was last week that Demichelis was charged with gambling.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it would lead me to believe by the way he's played in some of the past couple games he's been in, sporadically, of course, because he's lost his form, is that he was probably betting on the other side with some of the crazy antics he was pulling. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, you never know these guys, but
he's the Pete Rose of the EPL.
I'm not sure Martin Demichelis is good enough to have an effect on the game.
Well, he did that one game where he pretty much gave away, what, 2, maybe 3 goals on his own? I think it was against Everton. I don't remember exactly. But do you remember that match? It was one of the worst games ever for a defender. He got absolutely killed. Actually, it might have been against maybe it was against Liverpool. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. So, Crystal Palace is the opposite of Leicester City. And this is a crazy stat. With their 1-0 win over Norwich, Jim.
Yes.
They snapped the worst post-Boxing Day slide in the history of the Premier League. Listen to these numbers. Going into Boxing Day, or after Boxing Day, so after the Boxing Day matches, Crystal Palace was in 5th place in the table on 30 points. Since Boxing Day, they're last, and actually have a worse record than Aston Villa, if that's possible, only netting 7 points. That's insane to me, how they could crash down so quickly like that.
Got to be the eagle.
What about the eagle? The eagle that flew away? Is that what happened to the eagle, right?
I don't know. Did he fly away?
Oh, I don't know. I thought I saw you see those, but I think he came back. But I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean, the eagle? It's a bad mascot? That's what you're saying?
Kind of American, don't you think?
Oh, it's American? Well, it is.
Sort of
it's not a bald eagle. I mean, there's got to be eagles. Are there eagles in?
Cheerleaders, too, you know.
In the United Kingdom, they do have cheerleaders.
Just doesn't seem right.
Well, maybe they're Maybe with the Eagle mascot and the cheerleaders, they're setting themselves up for American ownership, a bid, a takeover.
Maybe.
What's that guy's name? Is it Pierce? Is that his name? No. What's his name? Who's the owner? Who's the chairman? He was on that, dang it.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Okay, well, if I heard it, I would know it, but I'm misfiring today. Corey would know if Corey was here.
I'm a lame guest host
because Corey's too busy filling out his taxes. So that's American too, right? Paying your taxes—that's patriotic.
That's patriotic. Yep, got to make sure those taxes get paid.
Or you get thrown into some IRS gulag. Actually, you know. That's the one good thing about this country. There's no debtor's prison. Not yet. No,
you just get a nasty letter.
Nasty grams. That's what we used to call them.
You just get a letter that says, you owe me money, dude.
Uncle Sam wants you to pay your bills.
Send me money. And by the way, we added 10% to what you thought you owed us.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to spend it on gold-plated toilet seats. For Congress.
We're going to spend it on whatever we feel like. Don't ask questions.
Yes. All right. So this is the story of Crystal Palace. I can't think of anything else from the Premier League season. From the last weekend. Sure, there's lots of stories, but we'll move on here to a story that I think is great. It's great for – I mean, we focus on the EPL here, but – this is UK-related and Europe-related, and one of the big clubs in European history is back, Jim. Now, I forget who they beat in the midweek last week. Do you remember? I'm ill-prepared today.
That's all right.
Do you remember? Do you know?
I do not.
Okay, well, Rangers won a league match in the second division in Scotland, clinching their promotion. So after being put into administration and demoted down to the fourth division?
Fourth division.
And liquidated. So, I mean, they had to reform their club completely under liquidation, and they've achieved three promotions in 4 years, with this third one getting them back to the Scottish Premier League, which means that we'll get two old firm derbies a year now, Jim. Yeah.
That's great news.
Like, I don't know. Would you say, I don't know if it's number one, but it's in the top three for sure. The most heated rivalries in all of world football.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's wonderful. I mean, there's nothing like, religious hatred and drunken Scottish people going at each other with, arcane weaponry and
knives, claymores,
bloodlust in Glasgow.
Yeah. Have you been there?
No.
Okay. You're a world traveler, so I figured you might have been there.
No, just Edinburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. Hearts and Hibs.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the old firm. I've always wanted to see that particular match, but Now I can.
You can, because you're going to have two of them that you can maybe get to.
Well, now it's meaningful. In the last couple of years, it hasn't been meaningful.
Yeah, and they played in some Scottish Cup matches. And so it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And again, if you don't really know about this rivalry, read up on it. And I know I mentioned this book before, but the craziest stories is get the book How Soccer Explains the World. There's a whole chapter.
Yeah.
The Old Firm Derby. And it's a great chapter. It's the best chapter in that book. It's a great chapter and it's a great book. So get it. If you have not read that book, I urge you to get it. And you could get it or go to the library. Heck, I forget about libraries. You don't have to spend any money. Go to the library and find that book. Right. I'm sure it's there.
But yes, it's a great rivalry.
So that's going to be great. So congratulations to Rangers.
Many, many, many great players have played for one of those two sides, Celtic or Rangers.
They have. And people forget that, in the in this day and age with the money ruling everything, they haven't had the success. But, I mean, just if you look at the history of Rangers and Celtic, they've had great success in Europe in the past.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, just I think it was 3 or 4 years ago that Celtic beat Barcelona in the Champions League.
That is true, yes.
At Celtic Park. So it hasn't been that long since they stunned one of the big boys.
Oh, and that's true. And again, that's what makes this game so appealing. I mean, in what sport would a club like Barcelona have to travel to Scotland to play Celtic? Yeah. Even footing, and they beat them.
Yeah. No, so, I'm really happy. That's great.
So don't listen to all these idiots in these other sports who want to Americanize everything and say, this team, they're too small of a town, or they don't make enough money. They shouldn't have to play this team. No, that's garbage. Competition is where it's at, boys and girls. Competition.
Not parody.
That's right. So there we go. So there's Rangers. All right. Well, this show's going great here so far. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on anything? How about we're ahead of schedule here, so let's just have a impromptu segment. Random thoughts from Jim. Anything you want to throw out there that we didn't discuss in the pre-show notes, maybe that you want to throw out there as a general thought, an observation?
Well, I hate to harp on it, but the Leicester City story is really amazing. I know you're a Spurs fan, but I think everyone except for Spurs fans is utterly filled with joy over Leicester City.
No, and they are, and they should be. And as I said, yeah, we talked when we had our guest from the Man on the Post podcast a couple weeks ago. He asked me the same question. I go, hey, I'm all for Leicester. I'm not going to have no ill will. Of course I want us to win the title, but I think we kind of threw that chance away. We had our chance to stay with them. And yeah, I guess to a wider point, some people kind of say like Tottenham's kind of, you know, thrown this chance away, but we really haven't. Leicester's just playing out of their minds. When I was researching the Crystal Palace stuff, I was looking at Tottenham. Tottenham's only lost 3 matches since Boxing Day.
A lot of draws, though, early in the season. Lots of draws.
Yeah, lots of draws, and that's what cost us. Yep, that's what cost Spurs. But Spurs right now are in championship form. I think we've won, 11 out of our last 14 games. And then of those 3 that we didn't win, I think only one's a loss, and there's 2 draws. But the key is, in those 2 times that we drew, Leicester won.
Yeah.
And there's your difference, because it was a 1-point gap at one point, and now it's a 7-point gap.
We could also talk about the fact that it's getting a little bit of squeaky bum time in Spain for Barcelona.
Yes.
Who dropped a game against, was it Villarreal, I think, over the weekend?
No, I want to say it was, I could tell you for sure. Hold on here.
Delta Vigo?
Maybe it was Celta Vigo. Yeah, that sounds right to me, Jim.
But, yeah, so the gap is now 3 points. But in Spain, they use head-to-head records, which Barcelona has a better head-to-head against both Atletico and Real. So they actually would win the tiebreaker. So they actually have more than a 3-point advantage. But still, it's down to 3 points.
That's right. I mean, it was all left for dead, but then they lose. They get their 38. Was it a 38 match or 33? Some insane number.
38 match winning streak done.
Snapped at home against their arch rivals. I think that could be the beginning of the end. If they do lose the title, that's going to be obviously the point where you look at Spain and see.
I'm very interested to see this this next Champions League match to see what happens, because Atletico is certainly not a team you want to face when you're not feeling your best. Because no. Cholo is not someone who has a lot of sympathy for people.
And they gave him a pretty good game considering they're a man down last week.
Yeah. Yeah. what is it? 1-0, I think, right? Aggregate. So
I don't know. It's only one. I thought it was two. I don't remember. I'm not prepped. I wasn't we're expecting to talk about this, but actually you are right, sir. They did lose to Real Sociedad over the weekend.
So
good job.
It's 1-0, I think, in
1-0.
Yeah, and it's so, I mean, it's a big championship Champions League match this week against Atletico.
And I can tell you for sure. I'm going to look it up right now here.
And actually, the other match, the Benfica-Bayern, is not over either.
No. That is up for grabs as well.
So, pretty interesting times in Champions League.
All right, I'm looking at this. And I went too far. It took me to March. I'm looking for – where's Barcelona? Barcelona, it's 2-1.
2-1. Okay.
But it is a goal.
It's a goal, one goal difference. Okay.
One goal difference, but Atletico's got one away goal, which is big.
Yep.
And they played, as I said, they played pretty well considering they're a man down. You could argue that they might have won the game if they weren't a man down. So.
Yep. Well, Diego Simeone has those teams very well prepared every time. They're just – it's amazing what he does with, you know, half the resources of Real Madrid and Barcelona.
That's very true. So it'll be interesting to see how long he could keep that up because he's a combustible character. But so far, so good, obviously.
He is, but I love him. He's done wonders at Atletico.
All right, let's turn the page. So thank you for that impromptu segment. I like it.
Cool.
Good stuff. So we'll turn on to someone else who you hope has much success, and that is after we recorded last week, that next morning, the trend continued that we've seen the past couple of years of big clubs announcing their new manager well before the end of the current season, and that trend continued, of course, with Chelsea naming Italian Antonio Conte as their new manager. Your great thoughts? News.
Great pick, I think, for Chelsea. He's a lot like Jose Mourinho in some ways. He's a pretty hardcore guy. He's a disciplinarian, defensive-minded coach. You know, he rebuilt Juventus and took them to three championships, three Scudetti. And then, of course, when he took the job as the Italian head coach, they went on and went to the Champions League final the next year, right? So, or I guess 2 years afterwards. But,
yes,
you know, he's a guy, I think, who will come in and make the hard choices. He's already started. I think he's putting in place some things. He's already talking about moving Eden Hazard. He said he wants to keep Diego Costa. You know, he's already talking about cleaning the house of some of the older guys that are, you know, maybe not playing up to their potential anymore, like John Obi Mikel and even John Terry, I think, might be out the door after all these many years of service at Chelsea. So I think it's definitely a turning of the page at Chelsea with Conte.
Okay, that's definitely the case. So let's just run down some background on Conte. For those who may not be familiar, he's 46 years old. He's Italian, of course. He had a pretty good career. He played 296 matches for Juventus and then another 71 for another club. So he was a seasoned professional. He had 20 caps for the Italian national team as well. and he's managed in Italy his entire career for Bari, clubs like Siena, Juventus. He was the national team manager for Italy. And so this is going to be his first foray out of Italy. So how do you think, how big of adjustment is that going to be for him, knowing that he's only managed Italian football?
I think it could be an adjustment, but, you know, the Premier League, you can win in the Premier League by playing good, solid defensive football, which is pretty much what his style of coaching was at Juventus, right? Is think about the defense first, take care of business, you know, around the net, organize, and then, you know, you're not going to see a lot of, you know, 5-goal games, 4-goal games. It's going to be similar to Jose in that, you know, 2 goals, 3 goals is the most you're going to see from a Conte team. You know, you're not going to see 5 or 6 goals ever. But I think you will see a very organized defensive unit. And he, you know, from all the rumors going around, he's talking about a lot of defensive players out of the bat, you know, right out of the gate here. So to me, it sounds like he's really wants to rebuild the center halves, and then, you know, sort of that defensive midfield into something solid, kind of the way it used to be. And maybe put, you know, Ruben Loftus-Cheek into that Frank Lampard role, which I think fits really well for the future for Chelsea. And then just kind of dump some guys that really haven't been performing as well, like I said, like Mikel, and, you know, Matic probably needs a change of you know, just change of direction. I think, like I said, Hazard, you know, maybe needs to go. Even Thibaut Courtois, you know, there's been some talk about him moving on. And that would, you know, potentially finance some big money moves coming in, because you could probably get a lot of money for a young goalkeeper like Courtois.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right. Good analysis there. I just have 3 quick questions that I want your just initial thoughts on. So, no, I agree with you as well that Conte kind of is in that Mourinho mold. And so, but you hear, I guess maybe it's a narrative or a meme in the British media, that Abramovich wants attacking football. But this appointment, if he had a major say in it, and I'm going to assume that he did, because that's the way he runs his club, is that he doesn't really want attacking football if he's hired Mourinho and now he's hired Conte.
Well, I think he wants winning football first, and he'd like to have attacking football. But if you look at who's winning the Premier League right now, right? A defensive side, a counterattacking side that wins 1-0. I mean, that's kind of straight out of Jose Mourinho's playbook. Claudio Ranieri has simplified the defensive counterattacking system to the point that it's almost as simple as football as you can play, you know, at Leicester. And he just happens to have the right guys, and they're executing almost perfectly. And, you know, they're just letting it roll because it's working. And they're winning 1-0 and 2-0. And that's kind of the way when Jose's Chelsea teams won the league, those were the same kind of results that he was getting out of his teams, were those grind it out, 1-0, 2-0 wins by sitting back, playing defense, and waiting for a counterattacking opportunity. And, you know, it works. When you have the players and they play their positions correctly, that kind of football wins games. So, you know, Roman knows that. So I think, you know, they've got big plans at Chelsea, right? They want to build this, you know, 500 million pound stadium. They're going to need to win some games to pay for that.
That's definitely the case. Yeah, all right. Second question for you. Conte is famous for his formational, I guess this hybrid 3-5-2/5-3-2. Do you think that he will stick with that at Chelsea, or do you think that he'll have to be maybe a little more adaptive to the players that he has? Or do you think he's just going to blow up the squad to where he's going to play his preferred tactics?
No, I think, you know, he's played other formations. I mean, he's played a 4-3-3. I don't think I've ever seen him play a 4-2-3-1, but he's certainly played a 4-3-3 a lot. And he's even said on numerous occasions that he plays, you know, that the players dictate the formation for him. So he had the midfield to play a 3-5-2, which is a great formation if you've got the midfield players to do it and the wings. But, you know, if you don't have the players, you can't force that, you know. Remember when LVG came in, he was trying to force that three center back formation on Man U, and that lasted about two games.
Yeah, it did.
Because, you know, I don't think any good manager is going to force a formation on a team that can't handle it. I think four backs is the way you play in the Premier League, unless you've got three solid, great center halves that can handle that area back there. And I can't think of any team right now that really has three great center halves that could do it. Can you? I mean, I can't think of anybody.
No.
Liverpool's tried it a little bit.
Yeah, and you saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do because you're challenged. The center backs in the Premier League are quite a bit challenged.
Yeah, there's too much direct play. There's too much, you know, too many balls coming in over the top. You know, there's just too much area to be covered. And if your wings are tied up, you're doomed.
No, good tactical thinking there, Jim. All right, last question, and this might be the 100 million pound or dollar or euro or insert currency here question.
You on?
With Conte going to Chelsea, will he be able to lure Pogba to go with him?
Oh, I hope so.
Do you think that could be on the cards? I don't know. Does Pogba like to play for Conte? I don't know if you've heard anything. Is he the type of player who might want to follow him to England?
I've heard rumors both ways, but the strongest rumors I've heard and read and got my divining rods out and you know, spread them across the internet is that Pogba wants to go to Spain. And whether that's Real or Barcelona, I don't know. But,
and that makes a lot of sense.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. I wish he'd be great at Chelsea, but I don't know if they can pay him enough with the FFP. I mean, when you come in 10th, you know, you don't make as much money. So, you know, we've still got a lot of salary on the books there at Chelsea. So, and other needs that need to be addressed pretty quickly. So I don't know if there's enough money left over to pay a guy something like, you know, 300,000 or So a week that Pogba is going to sort of expect to make on his next contract.
And that's true. And with financial fair play being pretty much pulled back a whole lot, this coming summer transfer window is going to be really interesting to see how teams spend, to see how much of an impact the rollback of the rules will have. I mean, the rules are still there, but they're so lax now. And I guess really nobody really has a handle on how lax they are. We're just like in this weird kind of in the between stage to where we're not really sure how teams are going to react to these pulled back things. But remember, there's UEFA financial fair play, and then England has their own version as well.
Right.
And everybody cites the TV money, but there are caps. You could only spend a certain percentage of that TV money on player transfers and salary.
Right.
And that increases per year.
And, you know, let's not forget, Chelsea plays in a very small stadium. They don't get the stadium receipts that teams like Man City and Man United and Arsenal get. I mean, it's probably half what those three teams get.
No, they do. And they make – I know Arsenal makes over £1 million per game just in ticket sales and suites and all that stuff. And so that's why teams are looking to get bigger stadiums. And same thing with Tottenham, same situation. I don't know, how much does Stamford Bridge sit?
Just about 40,000.
Okay, and Spurs is right around there in the upper 30s. So both teams are looking to expand to, I think Spurs are looking at something like 70,000. I don't know, yeah. what's the Chelsea plan?
Yeah, Stamford Bridge is looking at expanding to something similar, 65.
So almost doubling,
right,
your capacity, which is huge. And it's more huge for the suites that you could build to get all the corporate people in. That's the real key. It's not the, you know, the Mo's and Joe's sitting up there in that upper deck. It's the state-of-the-art suites that they'll be able to sell to the businessmen is where they make their real money.
Yeah, and there's almost none of that at Stamford Bridge today. It's really, I mean, it's an old stadium. You know, it's mm-hmm. walk, you know, when you go up for a beer, the hallways, you know, I'm only 5'10", and I feel like I need to duck down, you know, when I'm walking through the little hallways and stuff.
Yeah, they're small. And same thing, I've been to White Hart Lane and taken the tour. And same thing, an old stadium built in the early 1900s. And, the boxes, the luxury boxes, in quotes, aren't very luxurious. They're just, they're indoors. That's the only difference. And maybe the seats are cushioned.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, at Stamford Bridge, the seats are the old, you know, they're really old wooden, you know, kind of funky seats. So any upgrade to that would be pretty nice.
Yeah, so changes are coming there with both teams looking to share Wembley for a year, which that still hasn't been decided, but I'd expect it has to happen probably this summer. We'll probably hear news on what the FA is going to allow there.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect to hear something this summer, yeah.
All right, very good. So there's the Chelsea talk. I guess we'll look forward here now. Europa League, the other remaining team in England and Europe, is Liverpool.
Yeah.
Who came away with a surprising 1-1 draw at Dortmund. So they're coming to Anfield a Thursday with a chance to advance. What chance do you give them?
Pretty good chance, actually. I mean, they got the draw away at Dortmund. So, you know, I'd say it's better than 50% that they'll go through. You know, unless guys like Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan have a really big night. That was an exciting match. Clearly Klopp, you know, having trained most of those guys, knew what to expect from them, but that's a good tie. It's just kind of a shame it had to happen so early in the Europa League. I was hoping that would be the final rather than, you know, in the round of 16 or whatever we're in now, round of 8, I guess.
But yeah, starting the round of 8.
Yeah, that would have been a really good final match.
But I think we're going to get one regardless because the Europa League is stacked this year.
Yeah, there's some good teams left in the Europa League.
Yeah, so hopefully this might kind of turn the tide with the Europa League being – I mean, it's a lesser competition, but, I mean, the knockout round this year is pretty high quality.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good teams left. And the games have been great.
Yes, and I've talked about that for a long time, especially the knockout rounds are great too because with it being perceived as a lesser competition, teams really aren't afraid to go out. In the Europa League or in the Champions League, teams are really more set up to be a little more cagey, to not make a mistake. But in the Europa League, it's, hey, let's go for it, right? It's the Europa League.
They go out on the front foot. They try and score goals. They, you know, they just go at it.
And, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, let fly. It's good. It's fun to watch.
So we'll see. And if Liverpool somehow does win, which I'm not convinced because I think Dortmund's quality is great. And Dortmund carved Liverpool open at home, but they just didn't finish their chances. And I don't think if given the same opportunities, they will not they'll convert and they'll win. But if Liverpool does win, the victory celebration by Klopp may be out of this world.
Yeah, he's a little volcanic to begin with. He may go thermonuclear, non-linear, as they say.
Yes. All right, looking forward to the weekend in this big stretch of Premier League football. Man, looking at the schedule, Jim, at tudaftyanks.com, you could go there, go to the EPL fixtures tab, and you'll see the schedule. The schedule's insane, Jim. This is actually great. So we have a midweek game on tomorrow, in fact, Crystal Palace and Everton playing a makeup game. But then we have games Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then you got more makeup games Tuesday and then Wednesday.
I thought we had a don't we have a Man United makeup game or a replay this week as well? FA Cup?
Is there? Oh, well, I have a Man United playing Crystal Palace on the 20th.
Okay, so that's next week.
But that's listed. That's only a league match.
There's a makeup. There's a replay of a FA Cup, I thought.
There is an FA Cup replay. I know they do play. Don't they play West Ham? Maybe that isn't. Is that this week?
I thought so.
It's possible our schedule hasn't updated that. Okay. Well, you've got me curious now. Let's look this up.
Curiouser.
Let's look this up. Let's go to England. We'll go to the cup competitions here, and we'll see. I bet you're right. So, yeah, all kinds of games. And, of course, the big highlight of the weekend is Leicester will play West Ham.
That's a big game. That's a real big game.
And it's a big game for them. And so we'll see what they do there. If they somehow drop points, Spurs have Stoke on Monday, which is the only game on Monday.
Big, big, big game.
So especially if Leicester drops points, that game becomes huge.
Where's that match at?
It is at the Britannia.
That's a big game.
The FA Cup replay is actually tomorrow, Jim.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, wow. I know that. So you're on the ball. So West Ham will be hosting Manchester United tomorrow in an FA Cup replay, which is great. Good job. Good catch there. And then the next week, Manchester United plays again. They play Watford in a league match. Actually, sorry, it's Crystal Palace. Watford plays West Ham. And then you have Liverpool versus Everton. So you have a Liverpool derby midweek.
Merseyside derby.
Merseyside, yeah. See, I that sounded bad when I said it. Actually, it's not the 20th. Is that a Saturday? Actually, that might be a Saturday. Nope, that's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
They don't have the days of the week here. They just have dates. So we have Premier League football for basically 5 days in a row. What? Oh, hold on here. Let's count. Five days in a row. Actually, 6 days in a row of Premier League football next week, because Arsenal plays West Brom in a makeup game on Thursday. Then Friday's off, and then you have league games on the next Saturday. So this is great.
Productivity gets damaged.
Wow, tomorrow's going to be – next week's a great week. You have Premier League football every day except for Thursday – or except for Friday, sorry.
Yeah, wow. My productivity goes down.
NBC is going to be loving that, to get to play these games in afternoon prime spots. Yeah. Yeah, next week at work, I won't be getting much done either. Holy moly. All right, so there's a quick look ahead. So good luck to everybody, except for Leicester. Hope you lose. I hope Vardy gets red carded too. I even had an insult to injury for violent conduct, and he gets suspended for 3 games. Now, that would be great.
You Spursy.
See, I like that now. See, now every time I'm going to hope, because he did put a couple tackles in last week, and I'm like, maybe he'll put a back tackle and get sent off.
He weighs like $120.
That's true.
He can't even hurt anybody.
So, all right, Jim. Anything going on with you and Year Zero Soccer, or anything else you'd like to let the listeners know about?
Yeah, we've had a lot of stuff going on digitally at Year Zero. You know, we put out a big pod this week that got everybody riled up. You know, we dissected U.S. soccer, put out a 2.5-hour podcast that tortured everyone. And we've had quite a few articles published this week, which is great. Good getting out some content. Personally, I've got a new podcast that I'll be working on in the works in conjunction with the Football Times. So it's called The Lob. So if you look for that on thesefootballtimes.co, we'll be recording our first episode here in about a week. So me and Omar Saleem, the founder of These Football Times, will be hosting that together. Well, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. So a new podcast. Kind of fun.
Yes, very good. The more the merrier, especially of high-quality content, which we know it will be, because These Football Times – in terms of article writing in the long form, is second to none.
Yeah, and we're working on a new series for These Football Times as well that I'm taking part in, called The Masterminds. So it's about 10 managers from the past. So John Townsend, myself, and Andrew Flint are writing that series. So it'll be coming out between now and June. 10-part series.
Great. So, all right, and I can announce here at 2TDY next week in the midweek, we'll have this out. And, geez, all this football will come out. It's going to be great. We're going to have former Manchester United defender John Curtis will be joining us again. So we've set that up.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, so he played for Manchester United, so we'll get some thoughts on their situation. And then – at the end of his career, he also played for Leicester. So we'll get some thoughts on that. And now, currently, he's in the youth development game here in the United States. So we'll get an update on what organizations he's working with to develop the youth of America.
So I didn't realize he played for Leicester.
Yeah, he did for, I think, a year or two at the end of his career.
Wow.
So we'll get his thoughts again, I want to talk to a former Leicester player to say, could you even think of this possibility when you were there? Pretty wild.
That is very cool. That's a great guess.
Yeah, so tune in next week, and we'll have that interview with John Curtis. So, all right, Jim. Hey, excellent show. Thank you for stopping by tonight. It's been very good, and I hope everybody out there enjoyed it as well.
Anytime.
So, all right, folks. Well, hopefully, if Corey is not thrown in jail for not paying his taxes, he'll be back. And we'll break this all down. And good Lord, I don't even know when we'll have time to do a podcast next week. Because as we said, there's Premier League football every day of the week, except Friday.
Well, Corey lives with a polar bear or something, right? So
that's true. Maybe he was eaten alive.
They're not going to come get him. They're too scared of the polar
bear. Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, he may have that pet polar bear guarding his house.
Right.
We'll keep the tax man at bay. So, all right, folks, thank you, as always, for listening to the Two Dap Yanks podcast, and we will catch you next week with all kinds of more footy to talk about. So, for Jim Hart, I am Chad Smith, saying we will see you next time.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.